Your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Exodus chapter number 15 in the Word of God. Exodus chapter number 15 in the Word of God today. And what a blessing. Boy, that song, Pastor Chris, has a lot of powerful words in there. There is no doubt we ought to consider him today. As we look at Exodus chapter number 15 in the Word of God, as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And if your health allows you to, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter number 15. And for those of you who are visiting with us today, we've been in a series now over the past 9 weeks looking at a series entitled Heroes of the Faith. And our first hero here that we've been looking at over the last 9 Sunday mornings is a man by the name of Moses, who God has used in a very great way. And we're going to be closing out his life and heading to our next hero of the faith here very soon. And I just appreciate all of these men and these women in the Word of God that we're going to be looking at are men and women that there's no doubt God used them in a great way. But these are men and women who have made mistakes. These are men and women who lived a life just like you and I live our lives. They had husbands, they had wives, they had kids, they had to raise them, they had to work for a living, they had high times and low times. And what I love about the Word of God, the inspired, preserved Word of God that you and I hold in our hands today, is that you and I can glean from it. You and I can gain, we can grow. It's not archaic, it's not old, it's not outdated. How many are thankful for the Bible today? Say amen. We have the Word of God that we can grow from, and we're going to continue in this series. And Exodus chapter 15, would you look with me at verse number 22 today? Exodus chapter number 15, would you look with me at verse number 22? The Bible says this: So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Now watch. And they went out of the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness. Now watch the next 4 words. And found no water. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, Great Victory to Great Need. Great Victory to Great Need. Now hold on before we go to the Word of to the Lord in prayer. Here's what I do. When I read what we just read, and if you've been here the last 9 Sunday mornings, we've grown in the Word together. We've seen Moses from a baby all the way up to where he is now. We are some 80 years into his life. And also we read, and we know what happened last week and the week before. We know the burning bush. We know the 10 plagues. We know now the Red Sea. And we head to this, and we read these last 4 words. They were great need of water. And then I read this title, Great Victory to Great Need. And boom, as independent Baptists, we got it all figured out. We know exactly where Pastor's going to go. We know the verse he's going to read. We know, in fact, Pastor's just heading the invitation. And let's get out of here. We'll head to Culver's right now. Now, hold on. For your dream comes true. Let me put it this way. If we want to grow and we want to learn, we have to do that. We have to have a mindset to do that. I think at times we become so methodical in our services that stand up, sing a song, sit down, hear a special, sit down, stand up, announce this, boom, go into the survey, the message, have an invitation, hand out the doors, 11:55, woohoo, we did it, we're done. No, well, hold on. Why don't we buckle our seatbelt for a moment? And as Pastor goes to the Lord in prayer, and as you and I address the Creator of the universe, why don't we stop for a moment, and instead of trying to figure out the message, let's give our hearts to God for a moment and ask Him, Lord, give me something today. God, I need You today. Give me something. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that we can come to You at any time of the day or night, and approach the throne of grace. Father, may we never get over that. Father, we need You today. Lord, I am the under-shepherd. I'm not the great shepherd. You are. You know our needs today. You know what we need. You know what I need. You know what my wife and my son and my 4 daughters, you know what the shepherd family needs today. Father, I'm asking right now that You'd give it to them. Father, the visitors that are here, the members who have been here for years and have invested in this place, You know what every heart and every mind and every soul needs today. Now, Father, I ask that You'd grant it to us. May our prayer be right now, Lord, speak to me. Father, we need you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We understand in this passage of Scripture that the Israelites have now left Egypt on their way to Canaan. And they've done this really only by the hand of God. God has worked in a miraculous way. And we saw this in Exodus chapter 14. And we saw this in Exodus chapter, the end of Exodus chapter number 14. And then in verse number 21, the crossing of the Red Sea. And then we saw Pharaoh's army get destroyed. And now they're on their way. And as they cross the Red Sea, and as the Egyptians follow them, and as the Red Sea closes up, and as God works this just incredible miracle, and now it's over, it's done, and the armies behind them are dead, and now they're on their way. I mean, just what an incredible victory. And we head into chapter number 15, and really just about the entirety of this chapter is devoted to them singing praises to God. They're just overjoyed. They're thrilled. They're happy. They're calling out praise of after 400 years of bondage and 400 years of being a slave. Now God has just worked in this incredible, miraculous way. And if you and I can set ourselves in the Word of God for a minute, we can almost feel their excitement. It's over. The Egyptian army, they're dead on the shoreline. We can relax. And now they're just going to start singing to God. But if the Israelites thought that they were just going to sing and dance all the way to the promised land, they were wrong. Almost immediately they traveled 3 days into the desert, and now they're coming to a place where they're low, if not out of water completely. The Bible says the end of verse number 22, and found no water. I mean, it says they were looking for something. And what they were looking for, they could not find. There is no doubt they had carried water with them from Egypt, but now the heat of the desert, accompanied by a million people and their families and their livestock, and all these people they've got to feed, and they've got to water, and 600,000 men, not to mention the babies and the kids and the teenagers and all of the women that were there. This intense joy that they're feeling at the beginning of this chapter, and no doubt it's changing now into this intense hardship. The thrill of following God was swallowed up by the dry desert and the daily survival that they're trying to make their way through. They come from, oh wow, these 10 plagues, and then, okay, let my people go. No, let my people go. No, let my people go. No, let my people go. Okay, go. Get out and take everybody with you. And they borrow gold and silver, and boom, they're out of there. And then this just intense, overcoming of the Egyptians following them, and then God working this miracle, and they're dead, and that's it. One day in, 2 days, 3 days in, they're just rejoicing, and boy, they're all together, and they're happy, and woo! I mean, if this was a Hallmark movie, it would have ended right there, and they lived happily ever after, but it did not end there. The trials come. Christian, often our toughest trials come soon after our biggest victories. The Christian life isn't one big spiritual high. In fact, oftentimes it feels spiritually dry. Have you ever been in a place like that? Excuse me, friend, understand and comprehend. If you think as a visitor you came in today, whether from the overflow section all the way across to your left, if you came in today thinking that everybody at Cross Point, they're in it to win it, they're fine, and they're good, they're great, man, they're all dressed up, their lives are together, and they never have marriage problems, their kids are perfect in Sunday school, and man, they got that huge family Bible under their arm, and they sing all the hymns today, and they didn't even look at a hymn book or up on a screen. And they got to memorize it. Boy, everybody's put together. Let me just help you out today. There is not a perfect person in this auditorium. If you agree with that, say amen today. And the moment we think we've got it all together, is the moment that you and I are reminded that we are in need of a God. You and I are in need of a Savior. There are those moments in life that you and I feel like we have little to give, or we have little joy in going to church. Have you ever been a place in your life where maybe even for our visiting pastors today and visiting missionaries, have you ever had that time in your life where you felt like you didn't want to serve? You didn't want to get up and teach? You didn't want to get up and lead the music? You didn't want to sing in the choir? Yeah, have you ever felt like in your life you just really didn't want to serve anymore? Have you ever felt like a doubting Thomas? Have you ever felt like suffering like Job, or feeling distracted like Martha? How many times in our life have we felt that spiritually dry moment? We just wanted God. We just wanted Him again. We're like the psalmist who's saying, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. I mean, says, I need You. I'm thirsty. I can't go on. This wasn't a good Thanksgiving. This isn't going to be a good Christmas season. I'm down. I'm low. I'm in need. I remember, check it out, I remember the times I used to be in the choir and have joy. I remember the times I used to sit in church with my entire family and we had that teenager that's now gone astray. I remember when he used to be right here with us. I remember when I used to greet. I remember I used to be in my Bible. I remember I used to talk to God, and it wasn't a chore and it wasn't religion, but it was this relationship that I had with Him. I remember those days, and to be honest, Pastor, I'm like that psalmist today. I do miss those days. I want them back. I want to sing. I want joy. I want happiness. I want that spiritual life that I used to have. That's what I desire. Check it out. You're no different than everyone that is sitting here looking for water. Wow, good, great. They got a cross. Wow, this is amazing. Let's sing to God. He's so good. He's so great. 3 days later, here it comes. They're back in it. I want to ask you, single dad today. I want to ask you, single mom today. I want to ask you, grandparent today. How do you and I make it through a spiritual drought in our life? How do you and I, when we're looking for that water that's going to sustain us, how do you and I, when we're searching for the God that gave us such satisfaction before, that we praised Him and we worshiped Him, how is it when we feel like we're in a dark place of discouragement, I'm going to put it this way, or even this, we're not outside this, excuse me, let's get to the nitty gritty for a moment. If you think because we're a Christian, we can't get discouraged, you're wrong. If you think because we're Christians, we can't get depressed, friend, you are wrong today. We absolutely can. But we also have a solution. And how many are thankful for that today? Would you say amen? Oh, we have a solution. It's given to us right here in the Word of God. We're in a drought. There's a lesson that we can learn from these people. And the first is this. And once again, I know I've announced this several times, and I want you just to be super patient. The whole world is waiting for stuff to be shipped right now. I don't know if you've realized there's like 40 million containers out at sea or something like that, but it depends on what news channel you watch. And we're waiting for projectors right now, and they're not in. This one's completely out. This one's getting dim, or both of those have been shipped. We're waiting on them or something like that. For those of you who are sitting overflow, like every week, I feel so bad for you. And here's why I feel bad for you. Number one, try to sometimes come in here, because these people are really cool. And just to be honest with you, if you've never met them and they're the same as us. They're really cool people, okay? This is not steerage, and this is not first aid. I just said, come on in sometimes. If you ever want to sit in the overflow, go in there. But right now, there's our monitors out there. We got this really cool, I think it's like an 80-inch screen or something that's going to be put in there. It's going to be crystal clear and amazing. And we're still waiting on all of that. So even my PowerPoints today, I'm sick of it being on one screen. Everybody over here is like, I can't see, or your neck is stuck in this position. So I just said, turn them off. We're just going to go without them for a little while. But we're going to get them in. Why was I going this way? Okay, here's what I want you to do. They won't be up here, but you can write them down. Number one, when you're in a spiritual drought, would you write this down? Number one, remember what God did for you in the past. When you feel like you can't go on, life is tough, Remember what God did for you in the past. Look at verse number 20 here in our passage of Scripture. It says this. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Verse number 21. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." It's awesome here that Moses' sister, Miriam, led the women in singing praise to God. Now comprehend, listen. I know every Baptist reading this, we got Pastor Burkett here today. Pastor Burkett, I'm sure there are many pastors who preach expositionally. Pastor Chris, you're going to be pastor here today. We'll come to these two verses. It's like, as independent fundamental Baptist, timbrels, not so much. Not like we're dancing, you know what I mean? So we're just going to go ahead and skip over these verses. But I want us to comprehend something. They were very demonstrative in the way that they were praising God. That means this. This dancing that's taking place is not a sexual and or seductive type of dancing. This was a rejoicing. Check it out. It was happy. How many have ever been happy before? Say amen. Now some of you are like, you just need Jesus, okay? They were excited. Some football games going on yesterday, and for some of you, you lost, and you know, I'm not very happy yet. And there are others like, yeah, well, high-fiving each other, going crazy. Why? It was demonstrative. There was some excitement that were there. I think, listen. As Christians, may you and I never become so sedate or so stuck in a mold that we almost feel like we can't praise God the way that God wants to be praised. Go to the Word of God. Look, don't take my word for it. I'm not going to take anybody else's word for it. I want to know what thus saith the Lord. And the Bible talks often about the raising of hand or praise to God or the singing with a loud noise. That means this, friend. You and I can get excited about a stupid football game. Why can't we get excited about the things of God? And these people were excited. Look what God has just done. Man, I'm just going to put it this way. You can't praise God enough. You can't praise Him enough. Well, they just came Thanksgiving. Don't wait 365 days to give Him thanks again. You and I ought to praise Him every single day. Lift our hands. Praise Him. What a God He is. As the songs that we sang today, whether you had a hymn book or one screen, it's so sad to say, well, yeah, you looked at the one screen that we got left. No matter what it is, it's the words that matter. Why? We're not singing for us. We're not lifting our voices and looking at me and, boy, I can really hit that tenor notes. No, friend, we are giving praise to Him. And everybody can get involved. You know, the Word of God includes these two verses here for a reason. We have the count given that 600,000 men go out. And all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's right. It's all about the men. No, in the Word of God, we actually have preserved that here is a woman who stepped up to the plate and her name was Miriam. She is Moses' sister here. She's been on the scene, check it out, for a long time. This is a girl who's been used in a great way. When she was 8 years old, she was the one where her mom, Jochebed, said, go down and watch Moses. She was 8 years old when she approached Pharaoh's daughter. The nerve it took. The boldness it took. She was 8 years old when she ran back to her mom and said, we need a nurse out here, and grabbed her mom and came out. She now, for the last 80 years, she has been in bondage. She didn't follow Moses. She's been a slave her entire life. And here she is, used in a great way. The Bible puts it like this. She's a prophetess. She is one that is boldly proclaiming the things of God. She is a teacher. And she steps up and she begins to lead the women in singing. What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. Nobody is excluded from serving and worshiping and praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, somebody help me out. If you agree with that, say amen. Here's what we do. Uh-oh. I'm only going to meddle for 1 minute, and then I'm just going to move on. But I've been a Baptist my entire life, and here's exactly what we do. Here's what we do. Well, Pastor Chris, I would give praise to God. Here it is. I would love to know how many people have told you this. But I just don't have a good, say it out loud. Oh, you know it as well. Go ahead and look at these verses. Tell me where it said only the people with good voices sang. You don't have to look. I'll just go ahead and give you a hint. It's not in there, friend. Some of you are like, oh, well, it's got to be in here. It's not. Go ahead and tell me, everybody, only those who had a good day. Only those who had a good day. Only those were the ones that prayed. No. Miriam stepped up to the plate. They grabbed the timbrels. They begin to dance. They begin to give God praise. Why? Because there was something inside of them that they were excited that God had worked on their behalf. How many could say here today, God has worked on your behalf before? Would you say amen? That means this, when you're in a dry spell, a time of depression, a time of looking at yourself, and man, you almost disgust yourself, just start recalling what God has done for you, and you'll begin to see the goodness of God. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Psalm 23 and verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 31 and verse number 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought from them that trust in thee before the sons of man. Listen today, when you're in a dry spot, when you feel like nothing's going right, when you feel like you just can't go on, whether it be darkness, or maybe it's discouragement, or maybe depression, or maybe you feel that love is not there, just begin to ponder the good things of God. Just begin to remember what He has done. Think about this. How many are saved today? I know Pastor Blake asked for an amen. Let's just ask again. If you're saved today, don't be embarrassed. Just say amen. Amen. Let's ask again. If you're saved today, say amen. Amen. Ponder that for a moment. That means this. You and I who just said amen, we are going to live with Him for all of eternity. Think about it. No, hold on. Think about it. Well, it's 11:31. It's kind of taking a lot of time to think about it, Pastor. Okay, I'm trying to make a point here. When you start thinking about your salvation, it's hard to think about anything else. It's just time to ponder what He's done. You and I have seen Him work great miracles in our life before. For anyone who was here at Cross Point for any amount of time, Brother Hawkins, they remember the Eagledale days. And sometimes there's the old-timers around here that bring up those Eagledale days. Well, what is it? Do you get mad or bitter about that, Pastor? Absolutely not. Not at all. Guess what that shows a pastor that is a millennial pastoring in Marion County? You know what this shows me? Is the God that worked miracles yesteryear, moving Eagledale to this property to be debt-free, to have a Christian school, to see, excuse me, friend, 12 teenagers saved over this semester, is the same God that lives and works and breathes and is going to continue to work today. It's who He is. It's remembering, wow, I'm in a dry spot. But you know what? God's brought me through before. It's remembering, yeah, I've been discouraged. I couldn't pay that bill before, but God worked on my behalf. I lost that job before, but He gave me another one. I fought with my spouse before, but He brought me through that argument. I almost lost that teenager before, but God began to soften his or her heart. Listen, may you and I not live in the past, but there are times we ought to look at it. And they begin to sing and dance. Why? They begin to look back and remember, whoa, look what God did for us. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble here, but I truly believe God is going to continue to work in an incredible way. How many believe that? Say amen. I mean, too.
embarrass Sam this morning, but Pastor Burkett, would you mind just standing up real quick? Pastor Burkett's here today, good friend of mine. I'm asking for Dave Brooks. Do you mind standing up today? Now, both of these people, everybody's looking around like, wow, who are these people? Wow, never seen them before. But Dave Brooks was my sound man at Bible Baptist Church in Beckley, West Virginia for 10 years. I worked with them. Hey, Trish, you used to run the nursery, too. Good to see you, Trish, here today. He's a great nursery worker. Might want to recruit them here. I'm just saying, you know, God may move them here. It'd be a wonderful thing. But they're driving through town and visiting today. Pastor Burkett, pastors in Colorado. That's correct. Where at in Colorado? Cortez, Colorado. Now, think about this. Here are two friends of mine that they don't even know each other. But we have West Virginia and we have Colorado here today. And then I've got a youth pastor that's here. Pastor Blake, why don't you stand up? Pastor Blake's our youth pastor here of about 2 years now. And now I want you to think about this, gentlemen. We know each other. And we know God has worked great things in the past, do we not? Pastor Blake, Pastor Burkett, Brother Brooks, God is not done. Amen. How many agree with that? Amen. He's not done. Today I've got a friend here, Brother Titus. Would you please stand up, Brother Titus? I also have another pastor friend here, Pastor Foe. Would you please stand up, if you don't mind? And Pastor Foe, and Pastor Dan, why don't you go ahead and stand? We have pastors here today. Pastor Dan, been in ministry. Do you know how many years, Pastor Dan, you've been in ministry now? 33 years. 33 years. Check it out. I'm 38 years old. I was 5 when that man went into ministry. Pastor Poe, do you, around how many years you've been in ministry now? Almost 50 years. How many are thankful for that? Say amen. 50 years. But Titus, I know your story. Man, God's given you an incredible testimony. God saved you out of sin. And you have grandkids that are in church today because of our God. But let me put it this way. Hold on. Just follow me. Overflow, you're missing out, but I'll get a monitor here for you soon. Now just wait. Pastor Dan, the God that started working when I was 5 years old in your life and what He's done with your ministry. I wasn't even on the scene, Pastor Defoe. 50 years. Do you know how many years you've been saved, Brother Titus? How many? 44 years ago, God saved this man. Hold on. Pastor Burkett, Pastor Blake, Brother Brooks, is the same God that's going to work in our generation. We, gentlemen, can look back at the Brother Tituses and the Pastor Dans and the Pastor Defoes, and we can see where they've rejoiced. We can see their scars. We can see where God brought them through. We can see their tears. We can see their joy. We can see their marriages. We can see their grandkids. And we can look back and with bitterness say, boy, I wish I lived back then. Or it can put a little pep in our step to understand that the same God that worked in these men's lives and in their family is the same God that's living today. And I believe this with all my heart. If God were to tarry for another 50 years, He's still going to call men and women to the mission field. And He's still going to call young people to write hymns. And He's still going to put men in the pulpit. And He's still going to use our generation in a great way. How many agree with that? Say amen. Hey, when you get down, just start looking back. When you get down, go find them and say, Pastor Defoe, how did you get through? Brother Titus, how did you make it? And Pastor Dan, I just don't understand how you made it. I'm at my wit's end. I can't go on any longer. And just, Pastor Burkett, listen to their stories. Because they'll tell us this. With you, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, thank you, gentlemen. Number one, if you're taking notes, now I got to move quickly. Remember what God did for you in the past. But number two, would you write this down? Number two, remember not to magnify your problems. Number two, remember not to magnify your problems. Look with me at verse number 23. Watch what the Bible says. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people, verse number 24, check it out, murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, tune in and watch. The waters of Marah were bitter. That means this. In as much research as has been done on this subject, here is the conclusion. Here's the very foundation of these verses, even with archaeologists today going back and finding these places, and these streams still existing. Here's what would take place. It would smell really bad. Then the desert, they come, here's water, and it's going to be like, I don't know, for some of you who maybe live out in the country, and you have that well and that sulfur smell. Now, if you live in the country, you almost get used to it. Every time I go to the country, I'm like, what's rotten eggs? Like, something stinks in here. They're like, really? I don't smell. I'm like, oh, I can smell it. But nonetheless, that's kind of what would be taking place here. Historians agree it would be filled with bad-tasting minerals, but would be, check it out now, 100% water, and it would be 100% drinkable. That means this, it would have been enough for their survival. But the Israelites come, and they're going to magnify their problems, and now, instead of going to the person who can solve their problems, they're going to go to Moses. Oh yeah, here we go again. You got us out. If we watched, God work a couple times, but now what are we going to do? Thanks a lot. Here we go. I mean, it's like a never-ending story of just the same old, same old. Well, brought us out here to die. Now we're going to, the Red Sea, the part of, let's praise God. Oh, we have no water. Now what are we going to do? And they begin to murmur. They begin to complain. It was Charles Spurgeon that wrote it like this. What a sudden change from the sound of the temple to the voice of murmuring. You saw the maidens dancing 3 days ago. Check it out, and I quote, and you little dreamed that you would make part of yonder clamorous throng who surrounded the servant of God and cry, what shall we drink? Such are the changes of our outward conditions and our inward feelings. So fickle, so mutable is man. What is there that can be rested upon this mortal life? What we say today, my mountain standeth firm, I shall never be moved. Tomorrow, we are tossed about in a stormy sea. Oh, friend, what the old pastor is saying is this. Many times we feel wallow in self-pity. We exaggerate our hardships and we begin to overlook the blessings and or the very God that gave us those blessings. How do we do this? We compare and we can begin to complain. That means this, you and I begin to exaggerate our problems. We begin to look at, well, Brother Titus, boy, he's just got a maid, he dropped so-and-so, and he's got a great job, and boy, he's got grandkids there. And all of a sudden, we begin to compare my life with his life, and mine doesn't look so good then. So what do? We exaggerate the problems that we have in our life. Friend, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not picking red or blue. This is not a political statement. And or I want to put it this way, I am not a doctor. You do not listen for me to me whether to take medication or not. But I'm going to put it this way. Listen, in the day and age that you and I live over the last 2 years, there is no doubt in our country that we have exaggerated fear over the coronavirus. And we have taken it to a level now to where now, maybe, quite possibly, there might be one person in the United States that has this new strand. And here's what we're seeing. As of, turn me up just a little bit, guys, in the back there. Starting to lose my voice if it's too loud. Okay, but anyways, check it out. There might be one person with this one strand of this new coronavirus, and as of last night, churches shut their doors today. No. There might be. There could quite possibly, maybe even an inkling be, and we're not sure if it's the United States yet, and 300 million people, the chances of it being here, what do we do? We've exaggerated the problem.
And we're coming to a place now. Again, this is not a political speech. And for those of you watching at home, this is not saying you ought to be here today. And they'll go, your health is up to you and my health is up to me. And that's where I'm leaving it. But I am telling you this, friend, life is too short to live huddled up in a house somewhere, afraid of the entire world. Why? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And there is a job to do, and the gospel must go forth. And while you and I are huddled down, afraid of everything from diabetes to heart disease to the newest strain of coronavirus, people are dying and going to hell. And you and I have not been commissioned to prepare for the Antichrist, but you and I have been commissioned to get the very gospel of Jesus Christ out. Now let's do our job. Might be bitter. Well, in Egypt, we had the river from the Nile. Oh, so clean and crystal clear. Remember the plastic water bottles we used to get it? And it was cool and it cooled our tongue. Now we're out here. Smells like rotten eggs. What are we going to do, Moses? I mean, it's come to a point where I feel like Moses should have just lost his temper. Would you not have? We do it with our kids. What are you talking about? All right, that's it, God. I've done the best I can. Let a plague come and take them all out of here. I'm tired of it. I'd rather be on the backside of a desert. The bush was better company than these people. I mean, you know it had to cross his mind. But old Moses, whoo, what a leader he was. He does what everyone else should have been doing. You down? Are you low today? Remember what he's done. Excuse me. Stop exaggerating. Hold on. Man, I'm going to run out of time. But you know what? I got friends here. I got Pastor Berger, you want me to finish this message, don't you? So if we go over time, you blame him today, okay? Stop exaggerating. Well, I feel like the whole world hates me. Really? The whole world. Well, I feel like nothing ever goes my way. Really? Nothing? Well, I feel like what they posted on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I feel like they were all aiming it at me. Stop. Stop. Well, I never get what everybody else gets. And God is good to everybody, but he's never good to me. Well, you say that again? I feel like God's good to everybody, but he's never good to me. So when the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you weren't part of that world. Stop. Well, nobody ever gets hurt like I do. You might want to go back and read this little book called Job. Job. Well, I'm so persecuted today. I mean, compared to so-and-so, they just think I got it made. You want to compare yourself? Go and start reading in 1 Corinthians and 2 Thessalonians. Go to Acts and start reading about persecution. Have you been shipwrecked 3 times? How many times have you been beaten with rods? How many times have you received stripes across your back? How many times have you been stoned to death? Well, none, but good grief, it's Paul. Okay, well, time out. Let's stop for a minute. And it's a congregation. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, not for an amen, but like for seriously us. Let's stop exaggerating. We've all been hurt before. We all experienced death. We've all been sick. Carrie and I met somebody. It's not in his church, so don't start looking around. But remember, Carrie, not too long ago, they said, oh, I've never had a headache. This is somebody in their 80s. They're like, well, I've never had a headache. I wanted to hit him just so I got a headache because it was like I was super annoyed. Like, you've never had a headache? We've all been sick. We all have headaches. I think he was lying, but maybe not. Maybe he just never had a headache. But nonetheless, well, nobody's ever felt discouragement like me. That's exaggeration. Well, Pastor, you've never had any hard times. You're a liar.
Well, your marriage is perfect. Well, your kids are, well, your grandkids, well, your job, well, your car. Well, stop comparing, because when you compare, you begin to exaggerate the goodness that somebody else has in their life when somebody else could be looking at your life and be doing the exact same thing. Friend, comprehend. You and I have got to remember, if we're down today, don't magnify your problems. But then what do? Well, here's what we do. What everybody else should have been doing. Number three, write this down. Remember to look for God's solution. Look at verse number 25. Remember to look for God's solution. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him. Now check it out. This is Moses. The Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them an ordinance, and he proved them. And watch now, here's what God is doing. He's taking a tree, and he's going to have Moses throw this tree into the waters. And then what he's going to do is he's going to form this ordinance there. Now check it out. If everybody else would have just done this, they would have been okay. If they would have realized, well, the God that worked in the past is going to work for us now. And if we would stop magnifying the problem and understand that there's water here, let's just take it this far, there's water here that we can work with, then they would have remembered to call on God and understand that God always has a solution. If you believe that, say amen. He always has a solution. God is not caught off guard in our life. But you and I have got to go to him in prayer. Well, I don't even know what to pray. Just go to him in prayer. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit. Watch now. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That means, yes, if we're in a dry place, if we feel like, man, we just can't go on, if we are looking back and saying, I want to be, excuse me, where perhaps I used to be, we've got to call upon him. But watch now, there's more than that. We also have to obey after we have listened carefully. I don't have time to develop this, but it really didn't make much sense, Brother Titus. But at this point, they've learned God is not just going to be the... God works in unusual ways. They saw the lights. They saw the frogs. They saw the water to blood. It's weird. He's done weird things. God could have... Check it out. God could have just said, you ready for this? God could have said, you know what? Here's water. There it is. He didn't have to blow. He could have thought it, and the water became very sweet. That's all he had to do. But he had Moses go cut this tree, throw the tree in the water. You ready for this, Christian? I don't have time to develop this, but this might help us. Trying to overcome something that's discouraging us, getting in a room and turning on the TV, or getting in a dark room, shutting all the curtains, does us no good. Moses, get up and do something.
Well, I don't know what to do, God. I mean, our canteens are empty.
Cut the tree down and throw it in. God, that's a little embarrassing. I don't think I can do that. No, go ahead. Fine. Whatever they use, Saul, cut it down. Moses, we're thirsty. Shut up, I'm coming, all right? He gets it cut down. Takes the tree. Moses, we're not hungry. We don't need a fire. We need water. I'm coming. Takes the tree. Throws it in. Sulfur's gone. That's weird. Smells different. Moses, get down there and try that water. You get down there and try that. I'm putting myself in his shoes. You get down there. Man. It took obeying. Some are going to sit the next 10 years praying about getting in the choir, praying about being a deacon, praying about getting back in church, praying about serving him, praying about, give us the old days, praying for the Spirit. Some are going to sit in a room for the rest of this week, and you're going to be depressed. You're going to have suicidal thoughts. You're going to sit there thinking the whole world doesn't love you. Meanwhile, God's saying, get up. I love you. I've commissioned you. I've made you perfectly just the way you are. There's a gospel that needs to go forth. Get yourself involved. Get yourself up. Quit wallowing around and, oh, woe is me, and nobody in the exaggeration of life, no matter what it is. Get up and obey. I've got a job for you. Well, it looks silly, and I don't know the complete Romans road, and people may make fun of me, and I don't know who I'm going to stand beside in the choir, and I don't know who I'm going to have to welcome, and I don't know who I'm going to share the gospel with. Stop! Sometimes we may look foolish doing what God wants us to do. But it's for God. It's for God. Remember, obey Him. Listen carefully. Look at verse number 26, and I'm almost done. We're going to close it up, and we're going to be done. Look at verse number 26. And if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, will do what which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and give all His statutes, here's what I'm going to do. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. What's he saying here? Lastly, remember, when you're in a spiritual drought, to keep looking ahead. Look at verse number 27. They came to Elim in the 12 wells of water, and 70 palms. And they encamped there, check it out, by the waters. Soon the Israelites left this bitter place. Their canteens are full. And they're moved, check it out, to a better place. I mean, Elim sounds a little bit like Florida, you know what I mean? I feel like in February, everybody in this area, we all watch HGTV channel shows of beach bargain properties, and we all want to go visit our kids down at Pensacola, and we all want to just, what are we dreaming of? We're dreaming of the palm trees, baby. We want to be down where it's in the sand and the water and it's hot. Check it out. You know what God did? It sounds like here this place is a lot like that beach resort. They're going to go and there's going to be 70 palm trees and there's going to be wells and the streams of water. It was a refreshing place to rest and drink. Remarkably, Elim was just really a day's journey from Mara on foot. We're talking about one day's journey. The people felt discouraged and bitter, but God had a remedy for them. Listen now, and it was one day away. Get up, Christian, and put on your shoes and get back to your life. Quit camping out at Mara in the bitterness. Quit camping out if they hurt me. They did this. Look, have we all felt it? Yes. Are there those in this room that maybe have even been abused before? Yes. And I'm sorry. And I hate it for you. But let me put it this way. Life is too short to camp out in Mara when God has just a day's journey away. This incredible place for you and for me. If you're saved today, check it out. This world's not our home. To be honest with you, Brother Hildebrand, God could come back today. How many like that? Say amen. Wouldn't you love for God just to come back today? Check it out. If He doesn't, we're a day's journey. We're very close to spending all eternity with Him. I think for some Christian, this scripture is given for us as a reminder that we cannot live constantly looking in the rearview mirror of regret, of hurt, and unhappiness. Hey, friend, maybe it was Mara, where you have been camped out for years, addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography. Maybe it was Mara where you went through your divorce. Maybe it was more where you felt that unfair treatment from a pastor or a deacon or a teacher or a coach or a family member or a wife or a husband. Maybe it was, Mara. Maybe it was right there where this is where death happened. This is where God took home that person that you love so much. Let me tell you something, friend. Mara's not an easy place. But God didn't create you and I to camp out there. He brought us here to teach us something. He brought us here so you and I could learn what we needed to learn. But He didn't have them for the next 40 years sit here. No, one day's journey away was where they needed to be. That was the rest. That was where the water was. That was the shade. Jesus says this, stop camping out of Mara. Why? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. You're thirsty, I'll give you water. You're hungry, I'll give you food. I'll supply all your needs. At Cross Point, it's time to buckle up today. Where are we going? We're getting out of Mara. We're getting out of this. We're getting out of the exaggeration. Oh, woe is me. Well, it's not fair. Well, they treated me bad. Chop the tree down. Throw it in. Get some water. Get your rest. Why? We're moving on. Amen. This train's leaving the station. Sit here if you want to. But we're not. Because the teenagers in this church need adults that love God and are gospel focused and they're hand to the plow and they're moving on. Somebody help me out. Amen. The young kids in this church don't need a bunch of adults sitting around. Oh, it's not fair. We were mistreated. I can't believe that. Hey, I lost my job. That employer, that person, that pastor, they just, Now, stop. You're exaggerating anyways. I said, you're exaggerating anyways. Get up, put your shoes on, get some water. We're out of here. Why? We learned what we needed to learn. Well, what did we learn? Well, God's a good God, amen? God's going to supply all our needs. He's going to work. Well, what about so-and-so that hurt me? Here's what we'll learn. You ready for this? Cut the tree down, throw it in. Here's what we're going to learn today. You ready for this? Let's not treat other people like that. Well, somebody ought to say amen right there, don't you think? This is a good lesson to learn. I think it's time this morning, moms, dads, teenagers, I'm going to put it this way, college students. I'm going to ask you to join me at this altar today. Because we're leaving Mara. We've learned what we needed to learn. And the spiritual drought that is inside of us is done. We're leaving it as family and as friends. Grandparents, listen to me. We're leaving that at this altar today. And we are not coming back. We're not coming back. Casting all your care upon me, for I care for you.